Off the Ball.
GAA.
I can't get over Donny Gall at the moment. I look forward to watching him. Just the pace, the energy, their style of play, their bravery. But it's just so positive.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Full time in the Euro 2025 qualifier at the Aviva Stadium, and the Republic of Ireland have lost out 3-0 against Sweden. It was two goals from Johan Rydin-Kanyard, one in either half, and Fridolina Rolfo, the Barcelona star, with a curling effort on the hour, making the difference. It's the heaviest defeat that Ireland have taken so far. They lost 1-0 against France in the opener, 2-0 at the same venue at the Aviva against England, and England at the moment trail by 2-1 at home against France at St James's Park. That game still has a little bit over 10 minutes to play. Delighted to say that Ireland underage international and Shamrock Rovers midfielder Scarlett Heron is with us. Scarlett, how are you getting on?
Doing good, Will. Yeah, disappointed about the result, but overall a good performance, I think, with a lot of positives to take.
Yeah, it's that you kind of have to square off, isn't it? So, first half, Ireland had three very reasonable chances, two for Amber Barrett, and particularly a really good chance for Lily Ag. If they're taken before Sweden make the breakthrough, maybe we're having a very different conversation right now.
That's it, but that's the joys and the despair of football, I suppose. We get three chances really early on, obviously. Amber Barrett with two chances, one just headed over the crossbar, and obviously Lily Ags just drags right of the post. But as I said, that's sort of that's the despair of sport. Obviously Sweden are, you just shows their class when they take their chances then in the first half, and then early in the second as well to pull it to bed. But it really just shows the difference in class between these two teams this evening. Ireland just had the better share of the possession and all the chances really in the opening 30 minutes, but Sweden were just too clinical, and especially with Rita Kennard, she just absolutely ran riot this evening, and the Irish defence just didn't really know how to deal with her blistering pace, even for the last goal, running through the centre, and it was one-on-one with Aoife Mannion. When she played through Matilda Vinberg, just to a good save by Courtney Brosnan was forced then, but finished the game off then to end 3-0. But I think, as I said, just shows the class that Sweden have, and Ireland just were lacking in the final third.
Yeah, and look, a very different approach as well compared to the first two games, because I remember watching the first match in the group, and the reality is that France took a lot of flack for not taking their chances that night. I think L'Equipe famously put out some pretty harsh ratings on the next day, but Ireland had clearly gone to frustrate, to minimise the amount of chances they were giving away. And then similarly, that respect was shown to the World Cup finalists England at the Aviva, where there was a bit of hanging on after going 2-0 down in that game. This time round, Ireland's approach was a lot more positive. It was a lot more about getting up into Sweden's faces, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the main positive to take from today, the fact that Eileen Gleeson showed the sort of the abilities of the squad to be able to change things up and be a bit more versatile in our styles of play. To really go at Sweden tonight, I thought it stood to the girls, and obviously the result doesn't really reflect the performance, and I know you can say that very lightly, but I think in this case it rings true. Ireland went out with an attacking game plan and sort of pressed Sweden from the off and really went at them and created a lot of chances, which is a really big positive to take from this game. And as you said, the games such as the England and the France games, you just didn't really see the same attacking, like Ireland playing on the forefront like we did this evening. So we're still looking for the first goal of the campaign, but I definitely think it's a lot more positive now than the last two games, considering the chances made. I know the scoreline again doesn't really show that, but I think with time the chances will come good, and hopefully we'll get a few goals maybe on Tuesday night.
Yeah, let's put this into context then. Compared to the games against Northern Ireland and against Hungary in Group B, where it was clear that Ireland were playing against an inferior opposition, now that we're three games into playing against the very best of the best, because these are semi-finalists from the last European Championships that Ireland are up against in Group A, what's your assessment of what you've seen from the first three matches then overall?
I think it was good, obviously a good defensive display in the first opening, in the opening two games, obviously with the, you have to put respect on the group that we're in. We're obviously in the group of death, and you can't really take that too lightly. You have to go out and try get a result, and obviously the management staff thought that the best mode to take forward was to try defend and try squeeze out a 0-0 draw, or maybe try nick a goal at the end against France and England, and obviously that didn't work, but they were good results at the same time. You're minimising the sort of damage control, as you like to say, but I think tonight definitely there was a different approach, which was, I think, a positive one, as I keep saying, but it's definitely a hard one to take. Like, a 3-0 thumping at home isn't exactly what you want to see, especially when you have to play them again in a few days' time. So all in all, I do think that there's a lot of positives to take, and it shows that we are an attacking team as well as a defensive one. I think we have that, we can have that defensive stability at times, and you can really see it with the players, like, very organised, and Eileen Gleeson on the sideline always trying to encourage and try to sort our team out, and even in possession trying to calm them down, trying to say, like, keep the ball, you're well able, sort of thing. And I think that showed tonight that Ireland didn't really fear Sweden in any way. They went at them, and when they kept their composure and sort of played it around waiting for gaps to appear, I think they really got a good bit of joy, especially out in the wide areas, and obviously then getting balls into the box, but just unfortunately couldn't put any chances away.
Were you as surprised as we were here in the studio when we saw that Megan Campbell wasn't starting? Because when she came on, she got a few chances to launch with the long throw. It gave Sweden something different to think about. And also the crowd seemed to really get up when the first one was being thrown in.
Definitely, it was the biggest cheer of the night, without a shadow of a doubt, when she came over to the right hand side here and tried to swing one in, and it was probably another great chance, but Sweden obviously had tried to nullify the threat of the throw and had a lot of bodies back into the box, so managed to clear the two throws. But yeah, it definitely was a surprise. I think the entire team sheet was a bit of a surprise to everyone, even having Amber Barrett come on and play for the majority of the game with her two chances as well. Like, she takes those chances, and she's her name's in the papers tomorrow morning, you know, that sort of way. But I definitely think the asset that Megan Campbell brings is a special one. It's something that not a lot of teams have, so I think it's best to utilise it. And obviously we didn't really utilise it until the latter stages of the game. Maybe if she came on a bit earlier, and you can try use that as a target and get maybe the likes of Louise Quinn and Caitlin Hayes, who are both winning headers defensively full time this evening, maybe to try get them on the end of it and put one away. But yeah, it's definitely a great asset, and maybe it's something that they'll look for now in the game on Tuesday.
The couple of players up front, you've mentioned the fact that we got to see Amber Barrett and Kira Caruso up front together. For so long, we've kind of become accustomed to Caruso leading the line, and maybe it being Denise O'Sullivan trying to get the furthest forward to try and support her. Denise is obviously injured tonight, so that wasn't a possibility to be able to continue that. And then the decision was made to put Barrett up front. Is two players in attack centrally something we're likely to see again, or do you think this was an individual plan for the Sweden game tonight?
Yeah, it was definitely a change, but I think a positive one at that. It showed the sort of the drive to get forward, as I said. But yeah, I think it was definitely a different approach, but I thought it was a nice mix. Obviously, Amber and Kira have a lot of similar qualities, but I thought it was interesting to see the sort of the ways that they can switch up their play. Obviously, Kira Caruso is better at dropping short and sort of holding the ball up and waiting for a runner or a ball into midfield. But I thought it was good as well to see Amber Barrett trying to break in behind it on numerous occasions. And I thought that was a nice mix. And definitely the Swedish defence had a bit of trouble with it, especially in the first half. I don't think there was a lot of expectation on Amber Barrett to make those runs in behind. But Amber is deceptively very quick and can get to the ball very, very quickly, and definitely caused Sweden a lot of problems in behind. And I definitely think that's something that we can look at in the future and hopefully try utilise again. But it was definitely different and something that Sweden probably weren't expecting, which I think was maybe the aim of the two up top. And I think it definitely caught Sweden up off guard, which you could see from the opening chances in the first 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, how much was Denise O'Sullivan missed tonight though?
Oh, a lot. You can feel her presence, just that natural playmaker. Like, she just oozes flair, and she can just make a chance out of nothing. And you really miss her sort of leadership as well. Obviously, Katie McCabe trying to lead the girls on, but I think Denise can show her leadership through her play and sort of make things happen when everything seems a bit dead. And you can definitely feel her presence in that midfield, in that midfield. And yeah, she's a really, really big miss, and I'm hoping, based on Eileen's comments over the duration of the week, that she can be playing now on Tuesday and give Ireland another source of attack going forward.
Yeah, fingers crossed. The other good news coming from Eileen Gleeson just post game, they're just reading her comments. Looks like Katie McCabe is going to be okay for Tuesday's game as well. There have been some fears because she was holding the back of her leg late on the game, but no injury to the hamstring, Eileen Gleeson suspects. So that's some good news for during the week. What's your feeling about this game at the Friends Arena then? Because three games to go, Sweden away, probably brings back memories of a digging in performance there a couple of years ago in the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, definitely. You think back to Gothenburg when getting that draw, it meant so much at the time, and it really drove that team forward. And I think it was probably the turning point of the campaign in the lead up to the World Cup, because you could feel the sense of belief within the squad that you can take on a team of such stature, such as Sweden. And obviously coming third in the World Cup last year, it shows that that team hasn't gone anywhere. They're still European giants, and they're still able to put teams away like they did to us tonight. But I think definitely the team should go into the game with a lot of optimism and a lot of positives to take, as I keep trying to put forward. But I know it's difficult when it's a 3-0 thumping. But yeah, I definitely think that with the different style of play implemented tonight, that Sweden will have their hands full in analysis this week. So hopefully Ireland can get something out of the game now on Tuesday.
Just on the final note for you, there's still a couple of minutes left, so we could be left looking silly if this doesn't become a result. But I'm watching the end of the game in Newcastle, and France are 2-1 up away from home against England. If this becomes a result, it becomes quite an interesting group, doesn't it? Because two teams are going to qualify. France will move on to 9 points in their three games. Sweden have got 4 because they also had that draw against England. And England potentially losing this game as well. It's going to become quite the shootout if you have things like England dropping points at home here.
Yeah, it's an interesting group, obviously the group of death, and there's a lot that can happen, and obviously we're trying to do our best to get something out of the remaining games we have. Obviously we have about 3 games left, so we'll be looking to get as many points as possible and try to get points on the board. But yeah, it's definitely shaping up to be an interesting final few games, and I think all 3 teams will be really, really disappointed for not qualifying. Obviously Ireland were coming in as underdogs, so there's not that level of disappointment knowing that we have a playoff secured, but I don't think the other three teams will be happy with just a playoff place. So I think that'll be a massive result for France, definitely off the back of this result as well. So that they'll really look to push forward now and try qualify in first place out of that group. But as you said, it's going to make for an interesting end.
Yeah, potentially very interesting what England have to do from here. Scarlett, thanks a million for joining us from the Aviva.
Cheers, Will.
All right, Scarlett Heron there, bringing us through Sweden 3, the Republic of Ireland 0. France still 2-1 up. There's a minute and a half of the 5 minutes added left in that game at St James's Park. So potentially a huge result for France at the top of the table. I'll bring you all the results from the League of Ireland on the far side of this short break.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.